Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Welcome all of you tonight to Tippy Talk, where tonight we are going to do something very special for my birthday, because March 7th is my birthday, and I have a story to tell you, which is what we do on Tippy Talk. We tell stories. But this is not just any ordinary story. This is a story for a purpose. And of course, it's a story about me because it's my birthday. And I can cry if I want to, or I can complain if I want to. So the story I'm going to tell you today, well, before I tell you the story, let me tell you something else that happened. I was watching a doctor on one of those TED Talks, and she was a brain researcher. She did all kinds of researches for the brain's functioning, how the brain functions. And one of the tests they took was to see how our attention span works and what kind of information we actually observe and absorb and what kind of information we don't. And the results showed her that 60%, only 60% of the story that I'm going to tell you today, you are going to actually hear, which means that 40% of what I tell you now about my life, you're not going to even hear it, much less know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to take a little test with you. I'm going to ask you to take a little test, and I'm going to tell you a story. And at the end of that story, I'm going to ask you one question. So pay really close attention to the story. If you have the answer for that one question, that means that you heard more than just the 60%. At less than 40%, you blocked out, which means that you're totally above average. But not to worry. If you don't know the answer to this question, then you blocked out 40%, but there is a remedy to that, and I'm going to tell you what it is. But now I'm going to tell you the story, so listen carefully, because I will ask you that question right at the end of my story. You ready? Okay, sit back, relax, try to focus on what I'm saying, be very mindful, and let's see how well you do on the attention span. I have 9 lives, and I'm not a cat. Well, because I'm not a cat, I actually have more than 9 lives. So let me explain to you what I mean by a life, each life that I live. What does that really mean to me, and what am I talking about when I say 9 lives? One example of another life within a life would be if I had an incident where I had a near-death experience and I was actually maybe dead for a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, that would be another life, because it would be like I died and I was reawakened into another life. And probably also if I experienced something like a near-death experience, then all the other elements of that one life also probably collapsed as well. So if everything collapses in your life, physically or mentally or emotionally, then it would be the end of one life and the beginning of another life if you actually make it through to the other side of another, to be able to live another life. And of course, I did have a near-death experience, so that was actually, that's actually one life. And of course, when I was born, that's another life. So when I was born, it's really life number one. It's second life, but it's life number one. So when I was born, my life consisted of pure happiness and ecstasy. The entire, it was kind of totally overboard. The entire city, I was born in Jerusalem, so the entire city of Jerusalem, it seemed to me, as an infant, celebrated, because it was a small town where we lived, and about 35% of the city was related to me and was part of our family. And since I was the youngest baby to be born into that family, my uncle, who was born before me, was about 2.5, maybe 3 years older than me. So I was the youngest to be born. And so my uncle actually ran for miles all around the city telling everybody that a baby girl was born. And needless to say, that made me very spoiled. People would fight over spending time with me. I was always told how cute and how beautiful and how sweet I was. And everybody giggled with every sound I made. So, yeah, I was a happy, happy time in my life. I thought I was the center of the universe. I was very spoiled, very pampered, too spoiled. And that was all only from my mother's side. My father's side, he was a survivor. His whole family got murdered by Hitler. And he survived, and his sister survived. And he really never thought he would survive or be able to live again and actually have children. So to him, I was a miracle. To him and his sister, I was a miracle. So even on that side of the family, I was something really special to him. And me and my father were very, very, very close. He was everything to me. So that was my first life. That's number one. And thing is, it didn't last very long. And when I was 3 years old, the whole concept of who I was, the center of everything, changed, and I became known as the brave one. Now, I can't really say that there was a second life, but it was kind of like a twist going from the center of the universe to being the brave one, where being pampered and spoiled and gotten everything I need, now I had to act like the brave one. And the reason I became known as the brave one is because when I was 3, I went to kindergarten. I was a really good listener. The teacher told us if we see an object that doesn't look familiar, because we did live in Jerusalem, bombs were exploding and inserted in all kinds of places, and in gifts, in toys, and people were getting blown up. So we were told that if we see any kind of object that didn't belong to anyone, and even if it looked like the sweetest, nicest toy, don't touch it. Tell an adult about it. And I got on bus number 11 with my mother to go see my grandmother, and I saw a little package under a seat. And so I did what I was told to do. I pointed at the package. Next thing I knew, the police, the paramedics, the ambulance, the bomb squad. Everybody was surrounding us. Of course, the bus was evacuated immediately. And it turned out that it was a bomb and it was defused by the squad. And everybody started pointing at me as the brave one because I'm the one that discovered it. And as I used to walk down the street, people would point and say, oh, there goes the brave one. And so I had to take on a new role and become the brave one to always stand up and do what everybody else was afraid to do. Like if another kid was afraid to go out in the dark, I would be the one to jump up, take their hand, and take them out in the dark. So it was like a half a life. And that was my second life that I call my second life, was born. And that only lasted until I was 8. And when I was 8 years old, everything changed because I became an orphan. My father was gone. And my father was the center of my universe. And with him, everything else in my life was gone. I wanted to jump into the grave with him. I didn't want to go to school anymore. I didn't want to get out of bed. And when I went to sleep and I fell asleep, I only dreamt about my father. And in my dreams, I would beg him to take me with him. But he would just look at me and we would fly around all over town. We would fly on top of the buildings, on top of the water. And I didn't want to wake up and I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to live anymore. I couldn't imagine living a life without my father. And then when they forced me to go to school, I would just sit and stare like I was autistic. And then after school, I would get up and walk straight to the post office where he used to work and just stand there and stare at the building like an autistic person until somebody, usually my mother, would come and take my hand after it got dark and take me home and put me to bed. I also reverted back to my pre-training time where I urinated in bed. Basically, it was a total death of everything that I knew about life. And then that was the death of my second life and the birth of my third life. It was kind of like, which was really my fourth life because I also had the near-death experience. The way it felt was like Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall and breaking into tiny little pieces. And I did not want to put those pieces back together again. And my mother was going crazy. She didn't know what to do. So she took me to all the doctors in town. And their brilliant remedy for this was to pick me up, take me to another city where I couldn't walk to the post office, where nothing would remind me of my father. I'm not sure it was that brilliant because now I didn't only lose my father, I've lost all my friends and everything that I knew and I loved was gone. And on this third life, I had a choice to die or to live. But I really didn't want to die, but I did want to die, but I didn't. And after a while, I started adjusting to being an orphan. I did feel like an outsider all the time, but I began to go to the new school, make new friends. I wasn't as popular as I was before, but I was social. I wasn't as happy, but I was smiling again. I was beginning to build my life, build this life up again, and literally put Humpty Dumpty together one tiny little piece at a time. Not without wounds and scars and scabs, but I put it together again. And just like my life, just as my life was being put together again, not too long after that, when I reached the age of 12, my mother decided to marry a foreigner who was not from Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, I was plugged out of everything I got adjusted to, and everybody I loved, picked up and dumped into this strange place called New York City. Well, actually, it wasn't New York City. It was Brooklyn. And that was the end of my life as I knew it, because everything was shattered. I Humpty Dumpty totally fell off the wall again. Not only was I deaf and dumb because nobody understood a word I said, and I did not understand a word of this thing they called English either, so I didn't understand one word anybody said to me. And even worse than that, they had this weird culture and weird things that they did that I've never even heard of. And I cried every night. I wanted to go home. That was not going to happen. And I had no choice but to begin my fourth life, which is really my fifth life. But that was my fourth one, so that makes it five lives. And I did. I studied really hard. I tried really hard to learn the new ways. And I eventually, after a couple of years, I learned to really love my new home more than I've loved any other home I ever had, because now it was actually the only home I ever knew. And the community that I came to live with in this city was a very closed, very structured, very orthodox type of community. But along the lines of trying to rebuild this life, I was not exactly accepted into this community that was similar to the community that we lived, but just a little bit different because of the culture. They didn't accept me, so they totally rejected me at school, and I didn't have any friends. Not only did I not speak the language very well, which is weird for kids, but also they didn't accept my way of life. And that was actually harder, because when everything fell apart here, it meant that my entire belief system was completely and totally erased. It's almost like taking a computer and erasing everything you ever input in it. Now, it was erased because it no longer made sense to me to believe any of those things from a community that abuses me and won't accept me. And to top it off, the monster that my mother married that brought us to the city was abusing her. And he was part of this community too. And the way I saw it, how can I believe in anything that produces child abuse and rejection to that level? And especially considering that I was not used to rejection. So rejection was outrageously difficult for me. So my entire program got erased. And I didn't want to die, but I had no choice but to start living my sixth life. And at that point, I was old enough to pack up my bags and leave the house. Even though I wasn't 18 yet, I was old enough to get out of the house and start looking for what I would consider the truth, because everything I knew until now became, in my mind, a lie. And so I started this life looking for answers in all the wrong places, but looking for answers everywhere and looking for love in all the wrong places and looking for love everywhere. And until I reached 18, I looked all over New York City, all the five boroughs, everywhere I can go, I looked for answers. I didn't really find much. So then I advanced that search and I looked for the same answers all over the world. I went to Italy I went to France, I went to Amsterdam, I went to Japan, I went to Hawaii, I went to Costa Rica and Nicaragua and San Salvador and Mexico and Panama and everywhere I could go to find the answers of the truth. I didn't even know what was true and what was false and what was real because everything was so shattered, was so broken. And eventually, after a few years, I found enough things to formulate my own opinion of things, and it was nothing even close to what I believed before. It was an entire new way of thinking. And that new way of thinking was my sixth life. And then, of course, in the scheme of my life, nothing lasts very long, and at that point, I should have expected it, but I didn't. And I got married, which I would not call that my seventh life because nothing was shattered from my belief system. I just married someone who I believed was going to be okay, which didn't turn out to be okay. But my life was shattered and over when he decided to take the gun and crack my head open with a gun. Because at that point, everything that I thought about my marriage was not a lie, because obviously there was no love. Nobody that loves you can crack your head open with a gun. And that shattered my life. And that really made me want to die. It made me want to just finish everything. But I couldn't, because my two babies were already born. And so I had to march into my seventh life as a single mother, with an ex from hell who dedicated his life in making my life miserable, disregarding the fact that if my life was miserable, his kid's life was going to be not so great. But I had to be strong for my kids. And so I walked into this life, this new life as a single mom, with a lot of determination to make sure that my kids do not get as damaged as I thought they might get because of the situation with their parents or my situation with my ex. And that was a huge adjustment. And so I went on after a few years. Things broke down again. But this time I reached that near-death experience that I told you about in the beginning. That was my eighth life. And everything broke down. That was just when my car decided to take a dive off the freeway and go over the mountain and break every bone in my body, practically. And everything fell apart. My life, Humpty Dumpty, was lucky compared to how broken I was. It was physical, it was mental, it was emotional. And it was so scary because I couldn't just close my eyes and die because my kids were still under 10. And I could just imagine them being with a father that can crack my head open with a gun. What kind of a life would they have? I think maybe if I would have thought that they had a chance of having a normal life with a good father, I would have just given up and maybe I would have died. I don't know what would have happened. But then I was determined not to. And that's when I walked into my eighth life as someone who experienced a near-death and was determined to really build something extraordinary out of it. And so it went on for the eighth and ninth, and now I'm in my tenth life. But I don't have time to tell you all the details of my eighth and ninth life, so I'm going to tell you that it does not matter what happens in life. It only matters what we do with it, what the choices we make. And that's the end of my story. And as I promised you before, if you're listening, do not rewind and listen to it again to find the answer to this question. Just think if you remember it right now off the top of your head. the answer to the question that I'm going to ask you in a minute. And the question is, do you remember what my life number four was? If you have a quick answer and you remember exactly what it was, then you have heard more than 60% of the story. And if you don't remember, then you missed 40%, and there is a way to increase your mindfulness, your ability to hear. And yes, it's called mindfulness. And with exercising mindfulness, you can increase your attention span, which can exponentially increase your life ability to follow on goals, your focus capability, so much more power in your life. There are thousands of mindful exercises that you can find everywhere, especially on the internet. But I think there is one super exercise that we practice here, and you're welcome to join. You're welcome to join us anytime. And that is the story of my life and the 8 out of 9 lives that I told you about with the time span that we have today. I want to wish everyone who was born in March a happy birthday. And if you have a story that you want to share, or a birthday story, or any kind of life story, we'll be happy to listen to it. And if you know the answer, you are above average. Until we meet again, have an amazing journey, and let your magic be your potion. Don't need a man, you got a phone in your hand.